We talked about why he came, to destroy the works of the enemy. Of course, everything after that has been his destruction of the works of the enemy. I was thinking this morning, when we look at the why he rose, that the scripture that God brought to my mind was where Paul is standing before him, and he's telling them, you know, Jesus said to him, "I'm sending you," this is in the King James, "to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may be receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And you think about Jesus, and he was turning on lights from the time of his birth and before. Lights came on when angels came to Mary and to Joseph and to Elizabeth. And lights came on when he was born, and the shepherds came, because the angels came and the shepherds came to see, and they went away rejoicing. And throughout his childhood, the last thing we learn about him from his childhood was that he was turning on the lights of the religious leaders with his wisdom. And then we don't hear much, and then all of a sudden, one day, he comes and the Spirit descends upon him and remains upon him, and more lights come on. And he dies, and he is raised from the dead, and even then in his life, he appears to Paul, to Saul, he appears to us, and he turns on the lights. And so it's a good thing when the lights come on. It's a good thing that he destroyed the works of the devil. Jesus did not rise from the dead just so that we could have an Easter Sunday. Amen. And as I mentioned, and as many of you have probably heard, maybe even received an email talking about the funny math of Easter, and we've all wondered how he can be 3 days and three nights in the ground and rise 2 days later. And we've probably all heard of the people who, see Easter as just a pagan holiday. Of course, they see Christmas as a pagan holiday. And I've determined in all of those things to see Jesus in every day. But if the whole world is going to stop in honor of Jesus, I'm not going to be one to stop people from honoring Jesus. Because during that day, I'm going to lift up Jesus. The next day, I'm going to lift up Jesus. The day before that day, I'm going to lift up Jesus. We're going to lift up Jesus. We're going to lift Jesus higher. That sign's been there a long time. And we can still lift him higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me." So, why did he rise? Well, he told Saul, "I'm sending you in order to turn them from darkness to light." He rose to turn us from darkness to light. Without him, there was no light, because he's the light of the world. He rose because it was written that he would rise. Okay, see you, Wayne. You have a great, great dinner. He rose because he said he would. It was prophesied by the prophets of old that there would come to us a Savior. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. It was said that he would come. The last thing in the Old Testament says that he will come. And so, God doesn't lie. It's yet another opportunity for us to say to ourselves and everyone else, God does not lie. God had a plan, and he was so interested, so devoted to us, loved us so much, that this was the only plan that could make a way for us to get close to him, that we could behold him up close and personal. It was the only way. If there would have been another way, as we said, why did he have to die? If there would have been a way that he could reach us without this happening to his son, that would have been the time he would have changed his mind. But it couldn't be, because he said, what I say will surely come to pass. And so it came to pass. Now this is elementary to you all. You all know that Christ Jesus was born of a virgin. You know that he lived a sinless life. You know that he crucified, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. You have some understanding of the fact that he descended into hell and he led captivity captive. We all have a brief overview of that, but it's something that we need to consider. Because we can be guilty of, from time to time, if we're honest, ridiculing the Lord. Remember when we said, don't let what you know rob you of what God can do. Don't let doubt keep God out. Because there's always something God can do. What a wonderful thing. A man 86 years old that has spent his life, 86 plus, spent his life since he could think or make his decision in that direction against God. Probably arguing against people who believed in God, mocking and ridiculing. Mike probably caught a little mocking and ridicule once in a while for faith in Jesus Christ. But Mike got to say, wow. Do you like wow moments? Do you desire wow moments? Do you expect wow moments? See, that's the thing. Do we really expect wow moments? We expect somebody to give a testimony so we can say wow, maybe. We want wow moments. Oh, we want them. The disciples wanted him to set up a kingdom. They wanted it really bad. But the wow they got was not the wow they wanted to start with. Wow. On the cross. Probably it was not so much of a wow as a, oh! I don't know. But you see, I think that if we're honest, a lot of times when we pray, we expect the cross more than we expect the wow. Because we prayed certain things before, and we haven't seen anything happen, so what we know robs us of what God can do. We've had it pass us by or miss us or not seem to happen anywhere so many times that our tendency is to, oh yes, we pray, but okay, now we've prayed. But expecting the wow. You see, you take Saul who knew it all. He knew it all. The Bible says he knew all about the law. But he had a wow moment. Jesus says, here's the deal. Your life's going to change and I'm going to send you to bring light. So that they can see light in the darkness. And Saul took that, and as Paul, he expected the wow. He didn't shake the snake off in the fire and go, "Well, I hope that doesn't take it. That doesn't, hope that doesn't stick." He didn't go to the leader on the island and pray for him and go, "Boy, you know, this would be great if this would work." He expected the wow. He didn't really accept anything but the wow. And if there wasn't a wow, he didn't find fault in God. He didn't think it could be God's fault. He said, I don't know it all yet, but I'll forget what's behind and I'll reach for what's ahead. I may not grasp it all just yet. But I expect Jesus to be the same Jesus all the time that he was the day he met me on the road and the day that he convinced a man that I would have thrown in jail not that long before to come and pray for me, and the same Jesus that removed the scales from my eyes so that I could see, and the same Jesus that sent me out immediately preaching the gospel, telling people about the Lord, and the same Jesus that went before me when I came back and I spoke to Peter and I spoke to the guys, told them what was going on, and they said, well, I guess everything we've heard is true. It must be Jesus. You see, this is what should be our ideal in our lives, that not only would we proclaim him, but that people would then see him in us and around us and say, that must be Jesus. That must have been Jesus. That must have been Jesus. Why in the world did it take until a guy's 86 and a half years old? That doesn't matter. What matters is that it took. And so as our brother said, just let this be an encouragement to you. Wow's coming. Wow is coming. You know, people can preach the message that, you know, he died on Friday, but on Sunday he arose. Yes, the math's messed up. But the fact is, he died and he arose. The wow came. Just like he said it would. Just like he said it would. And it is a big deal. It is a big deal. It's always wonderful. We ought always to praise the Lord. We can praise him for what's coming. We can praise him for what's happened. We can praise him just because we've got life. An abundant life. And don't add, well, mine's not feeling so abundant. Don't let what you know, don't let what you see, don't let what you think rob you of what God can do. That's why he rose. He rose to seal the deal. Because that's what he said he would do. And hallelujah, we know the rest of the story. We anxiously anticipate the Holy Spirit. Because we know that Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's not going to be anything ordinary about you guys anymore. The little taste you had when I sent you out was a taste. It was just a taste. You know, drug dealers, they give a taste. They give people a taste to get them addicted. They give them a taste and they give them another taste. Because the taste doesn't cost them that much. But if they can get them addicted, it'll make them a lot. If they can get them addicted, it'll make them their slaves. If they can get them addicted, it'll have them working for them. My Lord, what would we have if we would just get addicted to Jesus? If we would get so we couldn't wait for our next fix. If we would get so we would carry the fix in our pocket and take a hit off it whenever we got a chance. He's better than drugs, folks. He's better than drugs. And yet, you think about it, and we can go through moments of addiction and then just... He's okay. Shouldn't work that way, should it? We should keep feeding that addiction. We should keep experiencing. You see, when you quit seeking the Lord, you quit experiencing the Lord. When you quit experiencing something, you don't need it as much. That's why he says, seek me while you can find me. Call upon me while I am near. So that everywhere we go, all the time, anything, everything that we do, we are partaking of him. Always. He came to fulfill. There's an addiction. There's a part in every single person that wants him. That's why people will fight so hard to resist him. Why else would anyone want to be adamantly opposed to his existence if it wasn't for the fact that in them they know differently? Think about that. What reason do people have to be so against God and the idea of God? What are they afraid of? They're afraid that they're not sure of a love that there is no cure for. That's a song. They're afraid two things. They're afraid, one, that it might take. They're afraid, two, that it might not. And what if it doesn't work? The only thing that they have going for them, the only thing that people have going for them that are resisting God so much is that they're still resisting. And how happy are they? How blessed do they feel? How much real joy do they experience? Jesus said, I came that you might have joy and that your joy might be full. That you might be full of joy. Do you like joy? Do you enjoy joy? Do you enjoy being happy? Do you enjoy the fullness of God? You know, people just would love a moment's happiness, but they're afraid to enjoy it too much because, you know, it's going to end. It's not going to last forever. But with Jesus, that's not the case. It is going to last forever. Just like He lasts forever. That's why He rose, because the grave couldn't hold Him. He was going to last forever, and so all of the promises last forever. And they weren't limited to the apostles, and they weren't limited to the next generation, and they weren't limited to the next generation, and they weren't limited to the next generation, and they won't be limited to us. Because it goes on forever. And since God is an increasing God, it makes sense that it should get better. And better and better. You ever ask somebody how they are, and they say it could be better? They're right. Only they don't know what they're saying, or how they're saying it could be better. But there's a little bit of truth in that. Of course it could be better. And it'll get better and better and better and better. And yet with God, it's best now and bester later. Because we put our trust in the Lord. The Bible says, blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. Does God lie? No. So then that must be true. Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. So I will be blessed. I will put my trust in the Lord. That could be our confession. So He came to destroy the works of the enemy. He died to destroy the works of the enemy. He rose again to destroy the works of the enemy, that we might continue the process to multiply the greatness of God exponentially. Remember, we said exponentially. Not just a little glimpse here and a little glimpse there, but exponentially. My son yesterday came and helped me switch over to a different computer. It was the most painless switch I've ever made in my life. But an interesting thing that he had this little bitty, tiny thing. It was a flash drive. But, I mean, just about too tiny. 8 gigabytes. 4 times as large as the first computer that we had. 8 gigabytes of storage. In just this little, tiny, tiny thing. Technology has multiplied exponentially. I had one hanging on the wall that was 5 times as big, and it was really pretty handy. 256 megabytes. And he had 8 gigabytes. Computer talk. But 250 megabytes doesn't show up on an 8 gigabyte scale. It's a piece of dust compared to a pebble. Exponential advancement. Well, hello, God is bigger than that. God is more able than that. Only God could give someone a brain that could make that work. How does somebody think of something like that? And I was informed one more thing to make me go, huh? Was it's all a combination of zeros and ones. All that information that gets stuck on there is zeros and ones. I don't know how that works. Why did somebody figure that out? What sense does that make? But that kind of knowledge only comes from God. Only. And we can't even imagine His thoughts toward us. How much do you want His Word to work for your life? Well, He wants it to work for your life far, far more. And to work in your life and to work through your life. If He loved us so much that He would give His Son, that He would not withhold His Son, then how much more will He not withhold any good thing for us? It wouldn't make any sense, would it? To do so much for us and then withhold it from us? It would be like Vicky working for 2 days, 3 days to get a meal plan and everything is ready. And then she says, okay, everybody, just take a look. We're not eating this one. Well, I guarantee you she's not going to do that. She wants everyone to partake and enjoy it immensely. And she does a little thing that we're getting her delivered from, and that is she begins to apologize for some things before we even get to eat them. I don't know how that makes any sense. How can you apologize for something this great? Have you ever heard God apologize for great things that He does? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I made Jesus' death so grotesque. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry that Jesus only appeared to 500 people. This is just sort of the plan, you know. I did the best I could. Receive the Holy Spirit, it won't be that big of a deal, but you know, I think you'll enjoy it. I don't hear God even considering things like that. What He has prepared, He wants us to have. The same way that when Vicky gets dinner done, she says, come and get it. Let's have at it. Let's eat this. I've prepared it. I want it to bless you. God prepared a way through Jesus Christ. He wants to bless you. Is there something so wrong with that? Why? The only one that could not enjoy God blessing His people is the devil. Anyone who does not want God to bless His people, they don't know who their Father is. And anyone who will minimize what God can do, or minimize the expectations of people toward God, they don't know who their Father is. They're messed up. Jesus rose to show that don't let anything mess up the plan. Because truly your eye has not seen, your ear heard, nor your heart imagined what God has in store for you. Don't let anything steal that from you. The grave couldn't hold Jesus because God wasn't going to let anything steal what He could do from us. Why'd He rise? Because He said He would. Because He couldn't wait to finish the plan. Man, when He transitioned on Palm Sunday and the end was coming, He said, man, I got to get there. We got to get this done. Don't stop me now, Peter, you dummy. You don't know who your father is right now, Peter. Don't try to stop me. I'm going. It's coming together. I've been waiting for this since Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden. I've been waiting for this. How could I not do this? This is going to be awesome. You just wait. And he walked into a room when the doors were locked and said, "Peace be with you. I'm home." I was thinking about this, you know, and they talk about how the guys on the road didn't recognize him, and about how the Mary didn't really recognize him, you know. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been someplace and somebody that you know very well, that you never expected to see, you didn't see? And have them tell you later, "You looked right at me, but you just didn't see me. You were there? Well, I didn't expect to see you there." Do you think maybe that the reason that they didn't see him, didn't recognize him, because they didn't really expect to see him? It was when Jesus refocused Mary's attention that she said, "Oh, Master." Why all of a sudden did it look like him? The guys on the road walked with him, telling him about himself, him telling them about himself. And then when he was gone, they said, "Whoa. Thought there was something familiar about him." They didn't expect to see him. Jesus rose again so that we could perhaps begin to expect to see him. To expect him to appear instead of expect him not to appear. To expect him to perform his promises instead of expecting everything to be the same old way it was before. To expect, you know, we shared Jordan's testimony of a lady, you know, being told to go to a park in a place far away from any place he'd ever been to give him a message. And I think, at least I believe, at least I'm sure that he'll be reminded on regular occasions to expect God to have a word for him on a regular basis from somewhere, somebody, doesn't matter who. Because, hey, if he can find an older black woman who will listen to God, go to a park, speak to a young man with a guitar or whatever the description was and tell them to trust God and that God's going to give him what he wants, that he might just go, "You know, it's about time for God again. Did God have a message for you, for me, for you? Does God have a message for me?" Instead of expecting him not to show up, and instead of expecting him to, you know, "Well, you know, Christmas is fine and Easter is fine and, you know, he'll save me and take me to heaven someday," instead of having those things that don't impress anybody, instead having an expectancy for his appearance. When he was crucified, they didn't expect him to reappear. Even though he told them he would reappear, they had no expectancy of him making a comeback. None. If they did, they wouldn't have disappeared. Jesus told John, the disciple who Jesus loved, told him, "Okay, this is your mom, this is your son." To them, that was like, "Well, he sealed the deal, that's the end of it, this is it. It's been a good run, but, you know, I guess it looks like this is about the whole thing." They didn't have any expectancy of seeing him again. If they would have had an expectancy of him seeing them again, they wouldn't have been camped out in a room hiding. They'd have been camped out around the tomb. They'd have got to see him get up and come out of the tomb. If they'd have expected him to appear, wouldn't that stand to reason? It does to me. For he surpassed their expectations. And I want to encourage you today on this day that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord to take on a new attitude of expecting Him to surpass your expectations. And while you're at it, increase your expectations, increase your imagination, increase your vision of the greatness of God, and expect Him to surpass that. Because when He rose from the dead, He surpassed their expectations. And He set in motion the rest of the plan that would continue on and on and on and on and on and on, that we could benefit from it. And we, because of the people who went before us and the people who sought the Lord and the people who experienced the Lord and the people who have taught about it and the people that have researched and the people that have gotten the understanding and gotten the revelation and all of that, because of their understanding, we have the opportunity to launch it further. The Wright brothers' airplane could not spray crops. But the one you fly now can it, Mike? And it is exponentially better than the first ones that they tried to do it in. And you see, man would like to think that man has managed to make those advancements, but a wise person knows only God. Only God. And then a really wise person says, wait a minute. God hasn't yet run out of power. God hasn't yet run out of ability. There's nothing God can't do. Just as surely as He rose from the dead, just as surely as He kept all those promises, He's still keeping promises today. And He's looking for people who will expect Him to appear and recognize Him when He does and give glory to the Father, because that was the plan all along. Adam and Eve were to have fellowship with God, bring glory to God, increasing creation, and it got interrupted. And it got bruised. But Jesus came and crushed it, remember? Jesus came and crushed. He destroyed the works of the enemy. And He rose again and He sealed the deal for you and for me. Because He prayed for you and me. He said, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for these whom You've given me. And I pray for as many as who will believe just because of what they said. Do you believe? Hey, Lord, I believe. I mean, I really believe. We really believe, Lord. You rose from the dead. That's what we're celebrating today. I mean, You really did. And You led captivity captive, and You made a way for us. And so we expect to see You. Give us eyes to recognize You when You do come. And we want to see You more. And more and more and more and more and more. In every circumstance. Every circumstance. No longer will what we think we know rob us of what God can do. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You, thank You for Your great plan. Thank You, Jesus, for Your life, for Your sacrifice, for Your resurrection. And hallelujah, thank You for sending Your Holy Spirit that we might receive power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill us with Your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a resurrected day, saints.